The following podcast is a production of Institutional Real Estate Incorporated. Before beginning our program, we would like to invite you to sign up for a free trial subscription to one of our publications at irei.com. Whether you are interested in real estate, infrastructure, or real assets in general, IREI has a publication to suit your needs. Select Publications on the main menu to choose a publication. Interested in more than one? Sign up for them all.
I think it's fair to say that real estate investors tend not to favor raw land or inland in rural areas such as farms, ranches, plantations, and recreational land. Most investors favoring the urban cores of first-tier cities or secondary cities or even the suburban areas of top-tier U.S. cities. But there are organizations that specialize in selling raw land or land in rural areas. One of those organizations is called National Land Realty, and that organization's president, Jason Burbidge, joined me by phone from their headquarters in Columbia, South Carolina, to discuss what his organization is doing in terms of selling to investors interested in raw land and land in the wide open spaces of rural America. Here is what Jason Burbidge, president of National Land Realty, had to say.
People who invest in real estate oftentimes don't invest in raw land. And it sounds like you guys are involved in, not just raw land. It says here farm, ranch, plantation, timber. We just had a big piece about 21st century timber investing, recreational land for sale.
But a big part of what happened for us is we scratched and clawed through the recession. And interestingly enough, when we started the company, Jason's background was in development and primarily acquisition. He worked for a REIT for a number of years doing commercial acquisition for they buy parcels and then turn them out to big box retail, you know, like Walmarts and that sort of thing, and then retain the out parcels and sell them off as well. And then he moved from that into residential development, being going out and finding deals for the developers that he was working with. And so when he started National Land, that was the whole concept behind it, was to focus on development deals. And then, of course, the recession completely changed that. My background was always in straight up brokerage. Jason had never brokered. We're two Jasons, which is kind of weird too, in a sense. My background was always in brokerage. Jason had never brokered a deal. He'd always just gone out and found them and acquired them. So when the recession hit, and basically all of our clients went away, we were forced to really start shifting back shifting towards that focus of brokering deals. And the core of how this thing started off was we went about things from a very research oriented, data driven approach, very proactive. So the model was always identifying areas where our clients wanted to be in and reaching out and contacting all property owners, all landowners to find out what their plans were for the property, basically. And in the beginning, when we were just getting started, we had interns that would work with us from Clemson and Furman, and to get them practice in learning how to talk to people and get meetings with people, we'd have them practice down in the rural areas of Greenville County, which is not where the development was going, but just so they could practice developing their communication skills and learning how to get meetings with people and how to talk with people in meetings and develop trust and that sort of thing. Well, as those guys were practicing down there, people could say, well, you know, I do want to sell my property. Can you sell it for me if you're not interested in buying it? And so we had that brokerage model always there, but it was, like I said before, it was always kind of a side part of the business. But when the recession hit, the rural market wasn't as affected as, of course, the development side of things was. So we just shifted the focus towards rural because that's where we were able to scrape together deals. And we always called it networking on steroids. So when everybody else was sitting back kind of freaking out about what was going on with the market and the phone wasn't ringing, we were just calling everybody and going out and meeting with everybody who owned land and just networking and finding out where there were opportunities to put deals together. And that was what kind of took us on the trajectory that we're on now. A big aspect that was really a game changer for us was in 2016, we merged with a company called Land Pros, and they're based out of the Omaha area. And the owner of that company is a guy by the name of Aaron Graham. And Aaron's background is that he went to the University of Nebraska, played football. He's in Nebraska's Football Hall of Fame, and then spent 7 years in the NFL. And then after the NFL, got into the land brokerage business and ended up starting his own company. So fate kind of put us together, put Jason and Aaron together. They realized there was some synergy, and we ended up merging our businesses under the National Land Realty banner. And what Aaron brought to the table was a lot of what we were missing. We had all the data. We had the systems. We had a way of really getting, being able to source deals and getting put together. Aaron had a lot of technology that had to do with a number of different things, from marketing to CRM systems and that kind of stuff. And when we merged them all together, it created a great synergy for us.
So you guys are focused then on rural properties. Do I understand you correctly?
Yeah. So the core of the majority of our business is rural properties, but we still do a lot of development properties as well. So
rural? Is it rural because you are talking about ranch and plantation and farmland, which makes it rural anyway, but is that also just this huge swath of the country that people don't really pay attention to, or most people want to do real estate deals in urban cores or in cities or even suburbia? Is that part of the strategy, or there's a lot less competition, there are a lot of people not paying attention to that and not having the expertise there? Or is it just, hey, this is because of the categories that we specialize in, it takes you to rural areas?
It's definitely part of the strategy. And my background has always, as I mentioned, I've always brokered real estate for 20 years. That's what my career has been. And I'd always been involved with rural brokering rural properties. And I was involved with it because that's just what I grew up in, a rural community. I enjoy being out in the woods and that sort of thing. And so that's just, I didn't want to focus on selling houses. I wanted to do something that, you know, matched what my passions were.
You wanted to sell a Ponderosa.
Right. But what we really learned was, and again, it goes back to the recession, where everybody was getting hammered that were involved with commercial development, whether it be, you know, buildings or residential neighborhoods or whatever. You know, we found that the rural markets were more insulated. And don't get me wrong, there were people that got hurt that were invested in rural properties, but it's typically because they didn't really approach it from the right direction, and they overpaid and got stuck and deals they probably shouldn't have been in to begin with. But for the most part, the rural markets were relatively insulated. In fact, we've got
pumped up, right? Like city prices had gotten pumped up.
Right.
You know,
the only places they got pumped up was, yeah, the only places they got pumped up were in those transition areas where you were close, where growth was coming. And, you know, we had people that made we knew of people who made speculative type purchases and maybe paid more than they should have, anticipating that the growth was coming that way. And it was coming that way until it stopped. And, but realistically, The data has always shown, if you really get into it, that the rural properties is definitely a weathers has weathered a lot of storms over the years when it comes to holding value. So we saw that as an opportunity, and it wasn't because there weren't, you know, people who knew what they were doing and companies that were reputable in that space. They were definitely there. We just felt like, you know, coming at it from a little bit different perspective, we could bring some of the advancements that were already happening in other sectors of real estate into this market and really be able to make a difference. And that's what we've experienced in the years that we've been doing this.
Well, so I'm on your website now, and I see you know, just about every state in the country listed here, but also Dominican Republic, Antigua, St. Martin, Trinidad and Tobago, Costa Rica. So you guys are not just North America. You go beyond the United States and North America.
Yeah, we do. And we don't have any limits. We've not put any limits on ourselves as far as where will this company will end up going to. You know, our core focus, of course, is on North America, but when opportunities present themselves, if they make sense, then we're gonna get into it, of course.
So how does this happen? How do these deals happen? Do you find properties that people want to sell and you list them and then you find the buyer? Or do you have buyers coming to you saying, I'm looking for some farmland? Give me a scenario, or maybe there's a couple different scenarios at work.
Yeah, absolutely. It's no different than any other kind of real estate. I mean, we're a real estate brokerage company. So that component of it is just like anything else. We help our clients buy and sell property. So we do things in the traditional manner of, you know, we list property for sellers. We market property for them, find buyers for them, put deals together and sell the property. We represent buyers who are looking for whatever types of properties they're looking for and represent them there as well. So that core of the model is no different than any other real estate brokers that's out there. What makes us a little bit unique is that our mindset has always been on the fact that in my years in real estate, for the most part, it's a very much a reactive industry. And what I mean by that is if you look at residential, for instance, and I spent a number of years working with a residential company trying to sell land, which is partly what kind of helped National Land turn into what it is, because I saw all the things that I didn't have working for a residential company that I wish I had as far as tools. But in the residential world, the norm, and I'll say this with a disclaimer, is that there are residential brokers, there are commercial brokers who operate the same way that we do from a mindset standpoint, that go out and create opportunities for themselves. But overall, I'm going to get this listing, I'm going to put it in the MLS and put it up on some websites, and then I'm going to sit back and wait for another broker to come with a buyer, and we're going to put a deal together. That's typically the way it works in a very simplified manner. Of course, each broker, each company, they all are doing different things to help promote their properties. But for the most part, it's advertise it, hope somebody sees it, wait for an offer to come in, and try to get a deal put together. So our mindset was, and this was really born out of necessity in a lot of ways, is that we don't want to be reactive. We always want to be proactive. And so that means that the basic component of what we do, and this is what we're doing right now with everything we've got going on, is always be reaching out and letting people know that we have an opportunity to be able to put deals together, however that may be. So all of that works from the systems that we have in place. We have a very strategic database that allows us to easily be able to go in and identify the areas that we want to do business in, the types of properties that are out there, so that we can know which kind of landowners to contact, depending on what type of needs that our buyers have. When we have listings, when we have properties listed, one of the things that makes us unique is, and you see this in residential, of course, with virtual tours, that's been around for a while now. In land, it hasn't really been as much. You had drones become really popular, and you had lots of drone videos. That became a huge thing 5 or 6 years ago, where you'd have all these really cool videos made of a property, people flying through the air and all that, so you could get a good perspective of it. But it was still hard to really tell some of the unique features about properties, where the boundary lines were and that sort of thing, just looking at the movie that was made. So what we developed was what we call Land Tour 360, and that's a bird's eye interactive tour of a property where you can look at a property from multiple altitudes, be able to manually scroll around and see all the different characteristics of it. We've got points of interest embedded in the system.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah,
I'm looking at it right now. It's so, 360 for me. Interesting.
So what's unique about that is that in our business, the radius that one of our field team members covers can be anywhere from 2 to 3 to 5 hours from their office. You know, whereas in normal brokerage, residential, commercial, you know, those brokers are working a very concentrated area within the city that they're based in. So we've got situations where, you know, a buyer, if they're coming out to look at a property, they're investing either half a day or a whole day just to go look potentially at one track. Our brokers and our sales team, when they're going out working, you know, they're investing a lot, not only time, but fuel and everything else, driving thousands of miles a year to cover all the areas that we've got to cover, because it's rural. So Land Tour 360 was revolutionary because it allows people to be able to do a lot of research up front before they go out to see the property, so that when they get out there, they're pretty confident that this property is gonna work for them, and they're just checking boxes to make sure that it is what it is. So it ended up, what we ended up seeing was properties were not taking as long to sell. They were, of course, getting way more traffic from the people spending time on each property looking at it. But then to me the most valuable aspect of it was that it was saving people time, because they weren't having to go and make multiple trips out. If you imagine, if you're buying, let's just say you're looking to buy 100 acres of timberland, and you're looking at it from a investment standpoint, but one of the benefits of owning land is it's got you can use it for multiple things. So you may be buying it primarily as an investment, but you get the added benefit of being able to recreate on it, hunt, fish, camp, whatever. So in most cases, as a buyer, you're going to be making multiple trips, no different than looking at a house. You're going to go and look at a house several times before you're at that place where you're ready to make an offer on it. And this really eliminated the need for buyers to be able to take all those trips out to a property before they felt comfortable enough to put an offer in on it. So it was really a game changer for us in that aspect.
So who are the investors that you work with? Are these high net worth individuals buying properties that they're going to turn into working properties? Or do they just want a big spread of land and put a home in the middle? And, you know, as I said earlier, Ponderosa, if you remember the TV show with Ben Cartwright and all that, you're probably too young for that. But
no, I know it. I know it. Yeah.
You know it? Okay. So
I do.
Are these people who are high net worth individuals who are investing in the land and turning it into, I'm going to create a ranch, or I'm going to farm the land? Or you also have timber, obviously timberland they'd be, you know, investing in. You also have recreational land for sale. Mm-hmm. Recreational could be, Thousand Trails or whatever. It could be like an RV park or something like that, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So our clientele, it really runs the full spectrum. So yes, we've got the institutional client that's the investment-driven organization that's a REIT or a TIMO, which is a Timberland Investment Management Organization. You know, top end, they're all, it's a company built on investment and diversifying assets for their clients. So we work with those companies on both ends, on acquisition and on disposition. But then from there it goes down the full line from the individual investor who are the high net worth that we've got some that the majority of their portfolio is invested in land. Many of our clients are very diversified in their investing. So we cover that aspect of it. Then we have the business aspect of it where you've got or our commercial arm plays for development, working with developers on whether it's commercial or residential, et cetera, finding the properties that they need. One of the big things that we really developed a niche in a few years ago was in the solar development business. And that was really unique and eye-opening for us. It started in North Carolina, actually. We had a portfolio of properties that a family owned that they were divesting. And we started getting calls from the different folks saying, "Hey, I see you got this property listed. I'm just wondering, does it have X, Y, and Z on it?" And it was always the same thing. And our agent that was up there started asking more questions, and it turns out that the person that was making these calls was working with a solar developer, and they were trying to find parcels for developing solar farms. And the way they were going about doing it was looking for properties for sale, calling each listing agent and saying, "Hey, do you have, does this property have access to this?" And all going through the checklist. So because we had this database of all of this information pertaining to land and ownership, we were able to streamline that process. And now we have a platform, which is called our targeted acquisition program. And that platform allows us to be able to work with anybody ranging from an individual who's looking to buy timberland investment or farmland investment up to businesses like solar industry that have a lot of specifics that they need in their property to go out and quickly identify tracts. They don't have to be on the market, but just tracts that exist that meet the criteria, and then contact the property owners and see if they'd be interested in entertaining putting a deal together. From there, we work with anybody else. So, you know, for us, we sell property to the family that's looking for, you know, 10, 20, 30 acres outside of town because they want to have a retreat to get to, or they're tired of living within the city limits and they want to move out to the rural lifestyle. We work with the person who's had enough success where they can, you know, buy 200, 300, 400 acres to use for hunting or recreation or whatever. We work with folks that are just going to buy 50 acres and for them to do whatever they want to with it. So literally, we sell everything from smaller parcels that may be, you know, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 up to the multi-million dollar deals.
Interesting. So you could just as easily have wind power interests, just as
yeah,
solar
absolutely.
Interests, especially if you're in the Texas Panhandle or something like that. How many transactions a year do you guys do? I mean, that I'm sure varies, but we've had a long run of economic growth. So I suspect there's been some consistency there.
In 2019, just as an example, we had 1,062 transactions. that ended up being just under 110,000 acres total and just under a half a billion in sales volume.
So are you guys on a growth trajectory?
Yes.
And what is driving the growth?
So this kind of goes back to why we are what we are now versus when we started. In the beginning, you know, before we partnered with Aaron and Land Pros and things really kind of started taking off from there, the company was called Carolina Land Realty. And we called it Carolina Land Realty because Jason and I just never really thought that we'd do anything outside of the Carolinas. It's where we're from. You know, we just thought that we could build something that would be great, and we would be the ones primarily doing the deals, and we'd have a few other folks working for us and, you know, brokering transactions as well, and we'd be able to make a good living. And when the recession hit, we, in finding the different opportunities that were out there to put deals together through the networking that we were doing, through the networking on steroids that I mentioned, literally shaking every tree to see what could turn up, we started seeing opportunities to grow outside of the Carolinas. And so as that growth started happening, we moved into Georgia. And we actually had a client ask us, and this was one of our institutional clients, and they asked us to come into Georgia to help them with sell some of the holdings that they had there. And they wanted us to come in there because again we were going about things from a different perspective instead of just the traditional, you know, put a sign out there and wait for somebody to call. You know, we were getting strategic and being very proactive and going directly to potential buyers and introducing them to these properties. And this client really hadn't had that experience in other areas in other parts of the country that they worked in. So we moved into Georgia, started developing a presence there, starting building relationships. And another one of the game changers for us was we had a brokerage company in Alabama some of our brokers had started building a relationship with just by doing deals together. And the owners of that company reached out to us and said, hey, you know, we might be interested in doing something with you guys. You know, we're at a place where, you know, we've been running this company independently, small brokerage company independently for a number of years. They've had a lot of success with it. But we're kind of at that place where, you know, we're thinking about retirement and just looking at different options. And so what we realized at that point is that we had the opportunity to really be able to help other smaller rural land brokerage companies grow beyond the lifespan that maybe they were expecting because you had an owner that was ready to start winding things down. So the way our trajectory and the way that we scaled is primarily by the services and the support that we offer to all of our field team. When I talk about field team, I'm talking about our brokers and our agents. Whether it's somebody who's looking to start a career as an individual in the land brokerage industry or an existing company. And so when we merged with the guys in Alabama, that was another, it kind of started putting us on the map nationally because these guys had a tremendous reputation. They weren't just, I mean, they were based in Alabama, but they did deals in multiple states around Alabama. So we're still in a small industry and word started spreading and people were like, well, why in the world did those guys hook up with these guys at National Land? What is it that they're doing? And our whole model is built upon, number one, we're not a franchise. We're an independently owned company. And we felt like that there was more power to coming at this from a team aspect. And that being at the core of it, We want our salespeople doing what they do best. That's in the field selling. And not having to worry about where they were going to market their listings, how they were going to market their listings, and all the other time sucks that go into being a real estate broker where you have to wear many hats in order to transact business. So we wanted to be able to have a system, and we do have a system that really helps helps people grow their business. So the scaling started taking off from there. And so that merger that we had with the guys down in the Black Belt, Alabama, put us on the map. When Jason met Aaron out at a conference in Arizona the year that we did that deal, he'd already seen what was going on, had heard of us, and had made a point of reaching out to Jason so they could talk. As I said, they really, hit it off as far as the vision that both of them had for our industry. And then from there, it's been exponential. So the attraction is, and I'll use Crosby and Associates, who is a company that we just joined our team here this year. Crosby and Associates been in business for years down in Florida, and they were looking, the owner of the company, a guy named Ben Crosby, who is as far as reputations go, is who everybody should aspire, the type of reputation everybody should aspire to have in any industry. I mean, he is one of the most well-respected land brokers in the country. He's sought after. He does a lot of teaching and coaching. He goes around the country teaching other people how to be the best at that, and then he's got a tremendous team that he's built down in Florida. This highly successful in brokering rural property and commercial development property. So they were, Ben was at a place where he was interested in seeing what the next level was for his company. He's getting to a place where at some point in time he's got to start thinking about retirement. What's his legacy going to be? And the attraction is, of course, all the support that we offer because of our in-house team, which has our data services, naturally our operations support, full-blown marketing team. You talk with Ray from our PR company. All of that goes into ensuring that the National Land brand is first and foremost when people are looking to do deals in our industry. But the second aspect of it was the technology that we bring to the table, which again is cutting edge. And then lastly, the team component of it, which I mentioned before. This aspect, in our industry, for the most part, everybody has a real estate license as an independent contractor, who most companies, the way that they're set up, and we're no different, is that if you're a real estate agent, you eat what you kill. So you're 100% commission, and you're not doing deals. You're not making a living. So
right.
The team component of that, and it creates a very individualized type of industry, even though we're constantly doing deals together because somebody's mostly representing a buyer, somebody's representing a seller. But we've been able to build a culture within our company to where everybody wants to help each other. And so whether it's on the state level or a regional level or on a national level, we have the ability for, and also in the network we have set up for as far as communication and everything else, where everybody's learning from each other. So our top producer in our company is constantly offering advice and support to people. He's in Alabama, and it may be somebody over in Kansas. He's giving them advice on how he might do a deal based on whatever type of question they've got. And that happens over and over and over again. So that, to me, is one of the most powerful things that we're able to provide, is this level of expertise, because we've got these experts from around the country who are willing and happy to help others succeed. And And that's something that's really hard to come by in our business.
Well, how many offices or affiliates do you have around the country?
So we've got about 275 licensees, and we operate in 33 states currently.